Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a great number of things happening today. Today is our stewardship day. So this is the day that we receive pledges for next year and for the glory of God. We also will be receiving new members today, and it's also a healing Sunday. So because we've managed to pack all of those things on one Sunday, Pastor Angela suggested that perhaps my sermon might be somewhat shorter than usual. I will do my best. She is a hard taskmaster. This is 10 minutes, Kip. See, Bob's over here looking at his watch.
That's right, Bob.
You go, girl. You know, these texts, especially this text of the widow, are so often used as a stewardship sermon. I'm not sure whether or not the texts were picked because Americans do their stewardship in the fall, or if Americans picked having their stewardship campaigns in the fall because the lessons worked out that way. I'm not sure which way it evolved. But this widow's story is one that is so, it's like a slam dunk for a stewardship sermon, right? You have this lady, Jesus is there with the disciples, and he's talking with them about what people give, and he's looking at the treasury as the people are bringing forth their offerings. And the rich people are putting in large sums of money, and then comes this little widow, this poor little widow. It's important. She's a poor person. And she takes these two lepta, which were little copper coins worth about a quarter cent each. Really similar to our own penny. I told Bill that if I had any of his pennies left over after the sermon, I'd give them back to him, and he urged me not to bother because they weren't worth anything. 4 cents each, by the way, at the current price of copper. And yet, Jesus looks at this widow who puts in these two lepta and says, "Do you see what she has done? She has given more than all the rest. For while they gave out of their abundance, she gave everything that she had, even to her own life, her own bios." Well, if you want to go straight from point A to point B, then it seems to me clear that our call then is to give everything that we have. Well, I've been in this stewardship game for a long time, and it's something that I have yet to witness. Stewardship Sunday, somebody comes up and says, "Pastor, I'm giving you everything I have." Now imagine if one Sunday we managed to get all of you to do that. Right? Give up all that you have, sell everything that you have, come and put it in the offering plate. We would have one really great Sunday. And then the next Sunday, you would say, "I have nothing." So I'm not sure that that's what model Jesus is proposing for us as God's stewards. I was really attracted to a lecture by David Lowes not long ago as he talked about this particular scripture, not as a way to reaffirm how we do stewardship these days or how we see stewardship these days. I mean, it's clear for many people we have to give to the church so that we can maintain the institution, right? I mean, that's how I grew up. You put money in the plate so the pastors can get paid and walk around in long robes and say long prayers and go through the banquet line first. Oh, that was in scripture this morning. We want to preserve the institution because, well, the institution is worth preserving. And you all know that if you don't give, we can't keep on the lights and we can't maintain the organ. We can't do any of that stuff, so we have to give to the institution. But David Lowe says that's not what the widow is about, or what Jesus is about. This lesson starts by criticizing the institution, by drawing our attention to the fact that when the institution becomes the point of religion and of religious practice, then we are nothing more than actors on a stage. That we're just going through the motions so that this building that we love so much, and our organ and our instruments and our floor and our staff, can all have some purpose in life. But David Lowe calls us to something different. He thinks that maybe this text helps us reimagine stewardship, not as what we give in time, talents, and treasure to support the institution, but rather that stewardship is a reflection or answers the question, how can I care for the things and the time that God has given? How can I care for the things and time that God has given? And his clue comes in that last part of the widow's story, where it says that she gave everything, even her life. So that stewardship becomes not so much of an exercise as we do every year this time of year, figuring out what percentage of our income, gross or net, that we're going to give for the work of the church, but how will I care for what God has given me so that God's love and God's mercy and God's justice can be seen through the world and in the world. Now, to be sure, the institution helps us do that, right? We understand that part of why we have an institution is because we can do more together than we can do alone. We saw that time and time again as the national church, our national church, right now in this very moment is collecting money from all of us so that we can do disaster relief following Superstorm or Hurricane Sandy, depending on whether or not you're the insurance industry. We saw it after Hurricane Katrina. We see it in our relief work that we're doing, not only in Liberia, but throughout all of Africa. That is the way that the institution at its best helps us to be stewards. But what if we thought of stewardship not only this money and time and talent, but what if we thought of stewardship as the way that we reflect the values of God? Stewardship of our relationships, for instance. What if we saw how we interact with one another as husbands and wives and husbands and husbands, as children and parents and as single people, as friends and partners, as part of our stewardship responsibility, part of that whole life that we give to God? Well, suddenly our tendency to compartmentalize our faith begins to crumble, doesn't it? Suddenly, if how I interact with my neighbor and my enemy and my lover is called to be a reflection of God's way of being in the world, stewardship is far more interesting and more important. It's a whole life practice. Then it means that we can't just take care of our stewardship Sunday in the middle of October, or in our case, November, and then not have to think about it. We're done. Stewardship becomes more than, we have this cute little thing that looks a lot like an Easter egg back there to put your pledges in that we're going to dedicate in a little while. That's important that we give of our money so that we can do ministry together. But if it's more than that, if it's who you are, if stewardship becomes part of your very bios, of your very being, then it also becomes a matter of our faith. So that we have to be careful that we don't become ourselves the institution. but rather that the people of God reflect the character of God. That's what it means to be stewards of God's creation. I don't think it's any accident that this particular text is paired with the widow of Zarephath, which I think is one of the most horrible stories in all of the Bible, besides the war stories. Because, you know, people think, oh, that widow of Zarephath wasn't that cool. Except that when you really read the story, she and her child are making, they have just enough cakes and oil to make one last meal before they die. And what does the long-haired, robe-wearing prophet come and say? Hey, lady, God said you're going to make me some lunch. She has nothing. And yet God calls her to give even more. I was thinking to myself, she must have been channeling that thing. Oh, here comes another guy wearing long robes, wanting the best seat at the table, devouring the homes of widows. But God makes a gift of it. And through that action of generosity, of faithfulness, and a God she didn't even know about. Remember, she says, for as your God lives, not as my God lives. I don't know who you are, but for as your God lives, I will do this thing. We're about to die. She gives of her whole self. So as we reimagine ourselves as stewards of God's creation, as people of God who reflect the character of God, then our whole bios becomes a matter of stewardship. So that the whole world can experience God's grace. So that the love that God has given us and that we have received so fully and so freely, we can give away reflecting the nature of God. So that we don't have to worry if this building falls down or gets destroyed, because what God truly loves and gifts to the world will still be here. No pews, no walls, no organ, no koa wall, no really cool altar and funky banners. But God will be there. So stewardship is how we reflect the character of God's generosity to the whole world. And so may God bless us as God blesses the widows. May God bless us and call us into a new way of being through the life of the cross. And may our institutions in our minds and in our structures give way to the generosity of being God's stewards in our whole life. Amen.